Hello and welcome to the Late Late Show, DNF1, with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor at nearly 1 a.m. I do apologise that our podcast isn't out any sooner, just work commitments mean that this is the time we have to do it. Derek, we're back in Portimao. We've been here, obviously, about 6 months ago, but prior to that was 96. The track was relaid then, so it made it quite a slippery track. Some of it's bedded in, but the drivers are still saying it's quite slippery out there still. Part of it might be the new tyres for Pirelli for this season, so that remains to be seen. And a lot of the drivers did say that it feels like they're on a knife edge, try to get these tyres up to speed, get them into a workable window. Today's qualifying, not a classic, would you say?
Yeah, not a classic. A snooze fest, I think, is there anything? Just a bit disappointment, well, I think, is a fair assessment.
If you didn't join us yesterday, the Friday podcast, we did mention that obviously we will have sprint races at some of this year's events. Derek, would you prefer a sprint race as opposed to qualifying today?
Yes, is the simple answer. Yes. The wind didn't help today. I mean, the wind was blowing and it was giving gusts and people were slipping and sliding, but it was an anti-climax, you know, cars going over the line and this one goes faster and then this one goes faster and then this one goes faster and the last one across the line takes pole, you know, but...
That is part of the problem with this particular qualifying setup, that sometimes weather, wind in this case, doesn't play into making for it. It doesn't build to that crescendo. We see it from time to time, and it does. But there's also races like this where this is part of the problem. A big asterisk for most of the qualifying results. Due to the wind, some of the drivers out there struggled because of the wind. They lost maybe half a second because of the wind, etc. We'll speak about some of them in just a moment. But let's start with the grid as it stands. 20th, we've got the two Haas boys, Mazepin. Then we've got Schumacher in 19th. Latifi in 18th. Now, Derek, I want to speak to you about Latifi first of all. Latifi's been the team for, what, the past 2 years along with Russell. His dad, I believe, pays his drive. The difference between Latifi and Russell's result today, Russell came in at 11th today and Latifi 18th. Now, we've not really spoke about it, but when there's those kind of variances, and it's not just one race that it's been happening continuously, should Williams maybe be thinking, you know what, okay, he's maybe a paid driver, but maybe we need somebody else in this car. This car's improving. Let's get somebody in the car. Maybe Bottas at the end of the season. But let's get somebody in there with Russell that can maybe have two cars in Q2. And again, I mean, Russell was pushing for Q3 and again was just a hair's breadth away
from nearly springs off. Yeah, I know.
Do you think Latifi should be starting to worry about his seat this season? I mean, okay, maybe goes round the race, gets to the end of the race, but he's not really improving. He's not moving forward. He's still just at the back of the grid constantly.
No. Look, this year he's got up two places. He's improving vastly on last year. You know, because all right.
Haas doing crap, doesn't he?
He needs to step up to the mark, and I think they will be looking at him. Maybe they've changed for two new drivers, but again, then. It's the same old question that they say, new car next year, do you really want to be breaking in new drivers as well as new cars?
That's a fair point, Derek. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Maybe Latifi will come alive once they get to that point and prove the car. Who knows? Yeah. Next, we've got Lance Stroll and Daniel Ricciardo. Lance Stroll, the Aston Martin.
This weekend, it was all hailed, you know, Stroll's getting the new aero packet, he's getting the new bits for the car, they've flown them over, they weren't supposed to turn up to Barcelona, but lo and behold, he got them there in time for his son to have them on the car, and look what he does with it, he gains it, ends up in 17th place, out of thing, got to look a spectacular star tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, Lance Stroll 17th with the new parts in the car. I'm surprised that what Aston Martin should be doing is they just go to the skip outside the Mercedes garage, and when they're throwing away the old components that they don't need, Aston Martin can just scoop them up and take them down to the factory and stick them on the car and improve it for there. But yeah, Vettel in 10th, a good performance for him today. And finally, as you said, maybe some luck. I think Vettel's maybe just enjoying this track better than the other two. You know what it is? The Aston Martin team, it's taken them so long to get this car up to speed in comparison to the Merck team, as a comparison. Merck have managed to get the car up to speed in probably, what, 3 to 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, that kind of window. And the Aston Martin is still going to be, I'd say, a month maybe before they're anywhere near competitive, maybe even longer, 6 weeks at least. And if they've just stuck a whole host of new parts on Lance Stroll's car and it's just not worked, and Vettel's put his in 10th without those components on it, then some of that has to be done to the driver.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do think he's going to go forward tomorrow, so that's a positive for him.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as he manages to stay out of trouble in the first couple of corners, we should see a good performance from him tomorrow. I think that's fair, and with Ricciardo as well.
Yeah, well, coming to 16th, Daniel Ricciardo, as I said at the very start, a lot of these guys could be out of place because the wind's played a part, but I know that Daniel Ricciardo said that he doesn't feel good about the result coming in 16th, and neither he should when Norris is up there in 7th. He has been outperformed the past two races, now again in qualifying, and he was so far... Daniel Ricciardo going out in Q1, I don't think that's happened since 2019 or something. Gone back.
Something like that. It's a long time ago.
Quite a while. I mean, it looked crestfallen when they were interviewing him, so he definitely feels the weight and the pressure of the situation. We said it yesterday that he needs to get up to speed and on with it, but I still think that, seeing as it's Daniel Ricciardo, we give him a bit of freedom, and instead of giving him three races to rip him apart, we give him 6, we give him 7, we probably give him more than that because it's Daniel Ricciardo. And we know he's a good driver. We know that he can perform. We just, nobody, including himself, I think, can put his finger on where the problem lies. But look, as you said, Lance Stroll and Daniel Ricciardo, 17th and 16th, the car's in front of them, they'll go forward from there, they'll stick a set of mediums on. It's a one-stop tomorrow is the plan for most teams, if not all teams. He'll wind up maybe fighting out for points in the top 10. He knows he's got a car that's capable of getting in the top 10, so we'll wait and see. Same with Lance Stroll, if Vettel can stick it in 10th, anybody should be able to. Moving on into what was Q2, Kimi Räikkönen in 15th, we've got Tsunoda in 14th for the AlphaTauri, and then we come to Alonso. Now, Alpine put a new floor on the car this weekend, they put a new wing on last weekend, and through all the sessions, it all looked positive. It looked like Alpine they'd went for the back of the midfield runners to the front of the midfield runners. And we saw this uplift in performance across all of those sessions. We get to qualifying, and again, could be the wind, so we've got to take these times, I think, with a bit of salt. But we find Alonso in 13th and Ocon in 6th, and Ocon's praising the car and stuff, and we've got to praise Ocon for getting it on 6th, and even in Q2 he was in 4th place. I mean, it was a great performance from Ocon, who normally we kind of say, oh, he'll hate to beat Alonso, otherwise he's out of the sport. Maybe this is the start of Ocon's career, you know?
Or maybe this is just Ocon making sure he's put a good performance in so that the new team bosses notice that he's done well and leave him alone for the rest of the year.
Derek,
you know, I mean,
so
I can see... I know, but I mean, I can see Alonso going forward. I think Alonso got affected by the wind because he was up there.
A lot of the commentary that we're seeing that these guys are going round and... the laps that they're just trying to put in, they get a gust of wind at the wrong time because the track itself is quite elevated. It is quite gusty up there. We had the same problem last year.
If you look at the times, Alonso 1:19.4 and the Bottas was 1:18.3. So it's not a huge gap between first and 13th.
The Alpine have come on in leaps and bounds in the space of two races. They were struggling the first two races, and now it does appear that they've found something. Cyril's old notes.
Yes. That's what he was talking about.
That's Alonso out of position in 13th. Could have been the wind, but again, he was performing strong over the weekend up to that. Giovinazzi, a bit of a surprise. Outstripping Kimi, the old man. But again, a good performance for the Alfa Romeo, and Giovinazzi, after what had been a couple of seasons kind of in the wilderness, is now at least starting to push towards the top 10. Whether it continues,
at least getting into Q3, if you know, if but for the grace of God,
yeah,
yeah.
We come to Russell in 11th. We mentioned there, Russell, I mean, Russell just missed out on getting into Q3 for the first time by, I think it was 47,000th a second. It was...
It's something like that, yeah.
A tiny margin. But he says that his maximum attack tomorrow, for P11, he could score points. He came so close 2 weeks ago at Imola, blew it. I think he's put it behind him. He's got the bit between his teeth, and he's good to go again. I was thinking this, Derek. Do you think Russell could be a future champion within the next 10 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not saying he's going to be a multiple world champion.
No.
But I do think he stands a chance of a championship. Yes.
A Damon Hill.
Maybe the season after Hamilton retires.
A Jenson Button. Take them anyway. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was good.
And Nico Rosberg. I said that word for sure.
Derek, I don't say his name because I know how it affects you. So, yeah, Russell in 11th, great result for them. And it definitely goes to show that the team changed, the investment. And again, maybe it was the old management that was holding Williams back. Moving on. We mentioned Vettel there and the Aston Martin in 10th. So Vettel in 10th and the Aston Martin. Yeah. Gasly in 9th. Gasly had been qualifying 5th in the past two races, but I think just the other teams have finally got their acts together. We've got Alpine in there, the McLarens and the Ferraris are ahead of them. Could be the track. I don't know. It remains to be seen. We'll see what he does in race pace, because, again, even in 9th, the cars in front of Gasly, he's going to struggle, you know? We come to 8th, Leclerc, Ferrari. A bit disappointing for Leclerc. He's normally the team leader, fourth.
Now
he's in 8th. But again, could have been affected by the wind, Derek. Sainz has qualified there in 5th, which I think is a great result for Sainz. And to be perfectly honest, I'd like to see Sainz do better than Leclerc. But that's just a personal preference.
Yes.
For no other reason than Ferrari are like, we're going to put all our eggs in this basket. Then they bring in Sainz and Sainz... hopefully, and can continuously outperform him, would be great, because that would really just go to show Ferrari don't know what they're doing.
They never did.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry to anyone out there that's actually a Ferrari fan.
Hi, Paul.
We do apologise. We just can't help ourselves after the whole engine fiasco and the cheating that all went on. Norris in 7th.
Alleged cheating.
Nah, I'll be honest, there's people up and down the ground that just outright said they were cheating, bottom line, upset. So I think we're past that point, Derek. Norris in 7th with the McLaren, again showing up Daniel Ricciardo, but I mean, Daniel and Norris, we're both kind of trading times over the practice sessions, and then we get to qualifying, and Ricciardo just, don't know where it went, and Norris just turned it on.
Yep.
Just... a great result for
Norris. A little bit disappointed. Thought it might have been a bit further forward.
Before you even went into the weekend, Derek, he was saying that they weren't expecting much for this. Maybe just the layout of the track or something. I don't know what got in their head. So from it gets 7th when they were expecting to be struggling to get in the top 10, I think it's an alright result.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think Norris for 7th, if we talk about Norris getting 4th and 5th, being his the result he's looking for, I think he's in a strong enough position to get there. And race pace, I think the McLaren's going to do a bit better than the cars in front. So we spoke about Ocon already and the Alpine 6th, which does go to show the performance improvement. Again, wind-related for maybe some of the teams, but he's put it in there in 6th, and it was a strong performance in Q2 as well. Let's see how it is in race pace. That's what it's going to come down to with the Alpine, to see whether they've fixed the problems or not. We mentioned their Sainz in 5th with the Ferrari. It really just goes to show that these two teams are going to be fine out. It's going to be McLaren and the Ferraris, I think, actually, 4th, 3rd in the championship. Would you disagree with that, Derek?
Yeah, I think Ferraris, McLaren, 3rd, 4th. We'll see which side it comes down on. We've got a 50-50 chance of being wrong.
Well... I mean, the thing is, we're only two races in, but it does feel that is going to be the situation. We come to the top 4. The front row is obviously the two Mercedes, and the second row is the two Red Bulls. Benefit for Max is he's starting on the clean side of the track, which is going to be a hindrance for Hamilton. But we've got Perez up there. We've got Perez actually in a position that can affect the race, maybe pull the trigger. Or do Mercedes use Bottas? to run off into the distance and hope that, that Hamilton can keep with them. I mean, the strategy set up here, Derek, how do you see it playing out?
I actually am pleased to see that we've got the four drivers at the front again and we've got wingmen. I think Bottas will be out and gone if he can get around the first corner. That'll be the decision made as to whose race this is going to be. I think they need to buoy Bottas up to get him going.
Derek,
and as long as Hamilton stays ahead of...
But do you think Mercedes want Bottas to be in front? Surely they'll either, whether they see it directly or not, they will want Hamilton to get in front of Bottas. Mercedes are...
Tyre change. They just go, oops, this bolt wheel nut didn't go on too quick. If that happens tomorrow, it's my fault. All right.
Cynical, but, yeah. Derek again. But yeah. Funnily enough, I was thinking coming home in the car, stuck wheel nut. Yeah, that'll sort that out. Because Bottas... Don't get me wrong, Bottas is a good driver. I'm not a great driver, a good driver. But for Mercedes, they don't want Bottas to be leading this race. They want Hamilton to be leading the race and using Bottas as interference.
But they will take, as long as they get 1-2, they will take it because that's the championship points.
Bottas probably is good for 5 races out of the season where he maybe leads from pole position to the end of the race. Let's be honest, if Hamilton's up his backside, is Bottas going to be able to...
He'll be past him. Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all.
And once Bottas is behind someone, we know that Bottas cannot seem to overtake. We saw it at Imola just last week. We've had various different other times where it's shown up, where Bottas just can't seem to get through the traffic the way that Lewis can cut it through. I genuinely see Bottas going for first, even with the car there and maybe clean air. Possibly he can hold on to the first set of pit stops, but I see him going back for there, and I think actually he's going to be fodder for Max and Perez at this track. I don't think he's going to finish even on the podium, Derek.
No, he'll be fourth. That's what I would say he would be. If I'm really, really honest, I can see one of the other ones behind him getting in front of him, and he slips down. And once he starts slipping, does Bottas.
He's never going to win a world championship, and... everybody knows that. I think he's the only one that doesn't. I guess he's got to keep that in his head to try and keep performing. Yeah. Track limits. And Max Verstappen did a 118.2. It was going to be good enough for pole position, but obviously the track limits are being policed. And I'm glad to see it. I don't have an issue at all. There's 5 corners on this track that they are stewarding and they're looking at track limits. And from FP1 all the way through to the end of qualifying, we've had over 100 laps have been deleted because of track limits. 100 laps. That just goes show the drivers are pushing it and so on and so forth. And that's fine. And they've got to be consistent, and they've got to be consistent the rest of the season. But Max, that 118.2 just goes to show what that Red Bull is capable of. And I don't think Max has got to sit in third. Do you think Max can come through and win this tomorrow?
Yes, I can see Verstappen getting there and sticking it out on the front.
And if anything, Bottas being in front of Hamilton, he's got to hold Hamilton up because he's not got to... Bottas doesn't want to let Hamilton past, and it's going to play into Red Bull's hands, because if one Red Bull gets in between those two, it's got to change the whole complexion of the race.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we want. You know, we don't...
Yeah.
We don't it's good. To be easy I for, think for Mercedes.
The first lap will be very interesting tomorrow. So the start of the race is at 3 p.m. tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting and challenging race for all drivers and all teams. We're really looking forward to it as fans. It's going to be superb.
Yes, I could have put it better, Derek. One stopper tomorrow.
Well, somebody has to say it for you.
I know. Long day. Derek, the one thing I'm looking forward to tomorrow, I think that we haven't really got in the first 2 races, is we've actually got 4 cars in contention, and hopefully we've been a dry race and there's no silly... Because this is the thing that's going to screw up our race tomorrow, is a safety car somewhere for just one of them, just at the right timing. We're going to have 4 cars in contention. All 4 of them have the potential to win this race.
Yes.
Okay, we've got Bottas and Perez as wingmen. Effectively, that's a role they've been brought into play. But I think we've missed the first 2 races. We've not had this all-out battle with everybody involved. That week covers off pit strategy, and it covers actually what should be someone running away at the front, because they'll have somebody in play that can actually stop that happening. We will wait and see Weather tomorrow is going to be bright, sunny, 28 degrees. Probably still have the wind, but it'll not affect them as much. I mean, the difference in qualifying is that the wind affects them and they lose 3/4 of a second, but it puts them down 5 places. But in the race, it's not going to affect them.
Yeah, and plus, remember, they're running light fuel in quali.
Yeah.
Where in the race, they're going to be, we've got the 100 kilos in, and that's going to hold them down a little bit more, you know, less wind effect till later on in the race.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. Derek, look, we're going to be doing the podcast straight after the race tomorrow. It's 3:00, so we should be recording a podcast about 5, and we'll be putting it out for everybody, hopefully by 5:30, 6:00 at the latest. Join us tomorrow, and thank you if you've joined us, well, hopefully Sunday morning you've joined us for this podcast. Well, folks, there's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's night-night from him. Take care, stay safe. Well, hopefully you all enjoy this podcast, whatever time of the day you're listening to it. And we'll see you all after the race today, tomorrow.
This has been a Beta Cat production for DNF1.